Will you open the door? The Time We Have, A Conversation Between Brothers is available now. In this tragic two-player role-playing game, you will take on the role of brothers in the zombie apocalypse and the final days before one of you turns. This card-powered game is played on opposite sides of a closed door as you draw cards, ask questions, slide cards under the door in order to tell the story of your final days together. The Time We Have is written by Elliot Davis, illustrated by Ripley Ash, and features guest writing and art from some of your favorite creators in the TTRPG industry. You can grab the Standard Edition or the Deluxe Edition, which features three exclusive door cards and a beautiful limited edition silver foil box right now at moreblueberries.shop.
I gotta get up on my documents.
Yeah, my documents. All my documents are.
All my documents.
Here they are, actually, I do still have.
I can't remember a single thing that we have done and/or talked about.
Oh my god, this is now because we're so behind. Which, before anybody gets the wrong idea, is entirely my fault. I've just been lifed to death.
That's a good movie.
So much life has happened that it got in the way of my stupid little podcast. Now dare they.
There must have been a bunch of major life updates since we.
There were.
Yeah, I got a watch.
You got a smartwatch.
That's
the primary one, I think.
It's really big in my life. I've worked out like every day for the past like three, four
Robin's
weeks.
Robin's been running.
Four miles a day. Occasionally I do a 5 mile. And then
that's
I get home.
That's crazy.
And
do you know
do
that that's
shit.
Crazy?
It's fun. It's crazy for me because I'm the world's most unfit guy. But I have zombies run. So zombies chase me and they motivate me to run faster.
Cool
love
shit.
That shit. Yeah, it's good. I have. it's fun. Okay, if we talk about, so it's like, you opened like, the reason why we haven't made an episode in a second is because of you. If I talk about all the stuff I've been doing in a month, it's gonna make me sound like I've been going through the crisis because I have my self-care app that that lets me look after a baby bird, and I've been doing that every day for the past 3 weeks. I have a smartwatch because I've started exercising a bunch.
Yeah, those are healthy things, Robin. I've been in crash outland. I think those are things that we mention on the podcast because hee hee hoo hoo. But do we want to talk about the fact that of why I haven't been available? Probably not.
That's a secret just for us.
That's a treat just for the old villain-Robin duo. You don't get to know anything about all of that.
So, like, we could, like, sandwich this intro mood with the things I've been doing and then the very sad things you've been doing. And then I can come in with a very light. I have a smartwatch now, as we've said. I also have found out that it takes me 1,000 steps to masturbate because
Sometimes because you had a 300.
First of all,
you had a 300.
Yeah, I had a 300 performance. Most of the time, it's around 1,000.
I'm not casting judgment here. I just want people to know that you have range. You know, you have.
I have a 700 step range.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It depends on what I'm doing. Because sometimes if I'm like if I'm writing, reading, I can go up to 2,000. But if I my average is 1. If I'm writing, reading, because I have to stop to write. Think of fun things to write.
Mid masturbation?
Yeah.
You stop to write, you get struck by creative ideas and stop.
I write porn.
Wank.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. But oh no, that's it. I'm just such a good writer that I write and then I'm like, I have to jerk it right now. No, I'm not sexting. I'm writing. I'm a literary genius.
You're penning your overseas lover in the trenches. You're writing.
Yeah. I'm people are gonna in like 100 years are gonna start reading the letters that I've been sending them and they're gonna be like, wow, this guy was really into farts.
Yeah.
That is a joke that
it's
won't
a great
land.
Reference.
Thank
no,
you very
it's
much.
It's a great reference.
The only way that would land is if you understood what I was talking about.
Yeah. Oh,
who
my God.
Was
what a freak. The farts guy? Hold on.
The farts guy. Big farts guy. Guy who wrote horny letters or horny letters about farts. James Joyce.
Oh, what a guy.
Yeah. That guy wrote a lot about horny farts.
He just wanted that woman to fart all day. And you know what? He knew what he wanted, and she was game, and bless him.
And you know what? That's fucking love right there.
That's love right
there. That's real love.
She said, yes, I am good with that. I'm good with that. I'm in.
Good with that. Let's go fucking sicko mode. Sick. Hey, Dylan, what the fuck are we doing here?
Believe it or not, this is Dorkspawn, a video game book club podcast. I have played 2 Mass Effect games.
I have played the Mass Effect franchise 100 million times. My name is Robin. As Dylan said, this is Dorkspawn. At the minute, we're playing Mass Effect 3 this week. We played Priority the Citadel 3, Priority Thessia, Priority Horizon, and now here we are.
And here we are.
And here we are. We had an interesting meeting yesterday where I said, I'm excited to record because these missions fuck hard. And you said, well,
and you're not all wrong. Was the follow-up to that.
Yeah, sure.
So, okay. So first of all, Robin, here's a thing. Priority Citadel 3?
Is a conversation.
What conversation? I clearly did it, but I don't... there's nothing
you meet
that
with
indicated
the...
that that's what it was,
you meet
and
with
I have
the
no
Asari
idea what the
council-
conversation was.
You meet with the Asari counselor. The Asari counselor tells you... a clue about the whereabouts of the catalyst and things about the catalyst. We are going into the third act.
Oh my God. Okay.
We need to build the crucible and figure out what the catalyst is. The catalyst is the final piece of the puzzle. The Protheans, genuinely the Protheans made this. This isn't a Prothean and it turned out to be Reapers. Protheans actually built the catalyst and the crucible. But we don't know what the catalyst is. And we're trying to find out. We go there. We speak to her. This is very fun. I have to have a new notebook because I think I left my notebook in Brooklyn.
It's in my closet. Yeah.
Yeah, cool. So it was some left of on my notes are on there.
It was left on the cuck chair.
As it should be.
As it should be.
As it should be, penning its dirty fart-based thoughts.
Yeah.
That's the last time we're making
If I looked at that thing, is there porn in there?
No. That's, I mean, unless you count rigorous Mass Effect 3 notes to be porn.
Well,
no.
Maybe.
Well. Because the thing is that I was excited about is my last journal is entirely Dragon Age. It's 100% Dragon Age. Toe to tip. That was going to be entirely Mass Effect toe to tip. But... R.A.P. in pieces. I left it in Brooklyn. So most of my notes are on this notebook here. But these notes start at Priority Thessia. So I can't necessarily remember how we get from Meet the Asari Counselor to Thessia. However,
well,
I'll tell you what.
I just went to Thessia because I clearly had that conversation. It was so...
It was brief.
It was so brief. I didn't even realize that I had triggered it or whatever. And there's no indication in my log that I did it. But clearly I did because Priority Thessia came up. I just went to Thessia, which is the Asari homeworld.
Yeah. Thessia, before Dylan hops on and says, they're going to disagree with me about something, is a fucking cool mission. Great mission. Great planet. I brought along, obviously, Liara, because I think you have to. But I also brought Javik. Javik is
also bring Javik.
Integral to this mission that it feels crazy that he is a optional DLC character and isn't a have to take along for this mission.
No, he's crucial. I'm so glad it was a last minute decision of mine to bring him instead of Garrus, because Garrus is obviously like my go to most of the time. I'm so glad that I brought him.
Yeah. It's really cool. So we land. Thessia is being fully stormed by Reapers.
Yes, they're being attacked actively. There's a general like that we have to find. We help them to like beat back. You know, waves and waves of Reaper enemies that are coming in. They are like already seemingly on the back foot, and when we ask for help, we're like, we need to get in. They're like, Shepard, we've been waiting for you. Thank God you're here. We're like, we need to get inside this
this temple
to get the catalyst, or to like learn about the catalyst. Without it, we're never going to end this war. And the general at first is like, absolutely not. You're Shepard. You should help us.
Be leading these people.
And you have to be like, no, like, if we stay and help you here, we don't get closer to the catalyst, and this is all for nothing anyway. So you wind up going further in. You help them a little bit, like you help them like kind of reinforce the barriers, but then you go ahead. They're still being attacked. You go and like kind of fight your way through wave and wave in through this enemy. And then I don't know if this is like something that I maybe did wrong or didn't do good enough. It might be the same all the time. I don't know. But you are overhearing like the Asari.
The panics and the losses.
And the losses, including at one point the general that just let you through.
Mm-hmm.
At the very end, as you're getting in, she bites it.
I believe that's all the time, everyone.
Yeah, I didn't see any indicator that it was like
anything else.
Know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because as you're going in and fighting through all of these guys, these Reapers and Cerberus as well.
And
it's
Cerberus,
a fun mix
of
them. You off in the distance are watching Reapers land on Thessia and annihilate skyscrapers in seconds, and you're hearing the panicked screams of most of the Asari. Javik is making a bunch of weirdly moral quips about things, about how this is what happens, like, this is what happens when you're slow, this is what happens to morally superior races. Liara is like, hey, shut the fuck up, these are my people who are dying. You get to this temple and you find a bunch of scientists. There's a bunch of scientists in the temple, and Liara's like, well, this isn't like a temple, this is what used to be a temple, but is like a pretty major headquarters for scientists and things like that. You find all these scientists with their throats slit, and then you find through a little puzzle of like turning on some beacons and some things.
So this is interesting, actually. Before I triggered the puzzle, I went and looked at every single artifact first.
Oh, sure.
And got the background from Liara on every artifact, a little history lesson.
Mm.
And then I triggered the puzzle where it was like, oh, this beacon needs to like, is like hiding like a secret connection to these artifacts. We need to find all of the ones that have a connection here, and that's going to unlock what we need. And so in the process of going through and talking about these artifacts two times, essentially, we get this history where, like, a lot of these old godhead figures in the Asari theology look like Protheans. And Javik is kind of like needling at her through this, like, strange that they look like us, huh? Weird that that was the connection, huh? That kind of thing. To reveal that, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but that, like, the Protheans were kind of influential in early Asari, like, development in a way where the Asari did view them as gods. And Javik then says at one point, like, we believed in you.
Yeah.
Like, we had high hopes for you.
It's the same to what the Salarians did to the Krogan, which is give them spaceflight and uplift them, in quotation marks, thousands of years before they were supposed to. Javik said that the Protheans did that to the Asari, is lift them up way before that they were supposed to be. They're supposed to find it, like, naturally and on their own. And Liara has a fucking freak out about this.
Yeah, she freaks out.
Being like, oh, so we actually aren't... We aren't all these things that I thought we were. We just kind of got a cheat code, and then we did the cheat code. Also, it turns out that the thing that in this temple, which is going to help with the finding out about the catalyst, is a Prothean beacon that the Asari... leaders have hidden for, like, literally since like, this Prothean beacon is what gave the Asari all this ability. And Liara, someone who's been studying Prothean artifacts their whole life, she's never seen a Prothean beacon before. Her mother, Matriarch Benezia, knew that there was a Prothean beacon and knew all this information about the Protheans and the Asari. And Liara has this whole thing of, oh, she must have thought I was such an idiot, because she knew that we had a Prothean beacon. I spent like 100 or odd years trying to find a Prothean beacon or any basic Prothean artifact, and we had them all along. We were hoarding them away, and that's what made us so powerful in the galaxy. Is and you know, she was like, I should have known this. I should have been privy to it. I'm one of the highest, like, leading members of the Asari, and I didn't even know that this existed. It's a cool conversation.
It is between cool. It's her very and cool.
Javik. Yep. I think it's really fun.
Totally agree. That part is very cool. It's a lot. I think like, this is a thing where this is not unique to Mass Effect. I think Dragon Age does this all the time, where, like, we're viewing, like, a million of these artifacts, and we're getting these backstory, and a lot of them, like, don't really have much, and then the ones that do are really, really interesting, but I would love to hear, like, maybe a little bit more. I know that the puzzle of it means that they're going to include ones that aren't as important, but, like, I just kind of wanted... I just wanted a little bit more. But that's a minor, very, very minor thing, and that's something that's just kind of unique, not unique to this game, that's sort of just a thing that happens.
Yeah. We have, then, however, hit the part of the creation of Mass Effect 3 where we are now on a budget. We can feel it a little bit.
I was just going to say, we can feel it a little bit, but I have to take off my sweater because I can feel this a little bit. I'm sweating. Holy shit. So... I just cannot hear you for a moment.
I was really hoping there'd be a cool reveal, but no, it's just a black tank top. For those wondering, it's a black tank top. I was kind of hoping it would be a fun t-shirt or something, but no.
No, no.
I was hoping
black
it'd
tank
be a...
top.
Yeah, it's good.
So then we find all the connections. We accelerate the, or activate the beacon, I should say. The beacon lights up. We can go and trigger it and activate it. And who fucking shows up?
Who fucking turns up?
In person, mind you.
Kai Lang? We've seen Kai Lang before. He was in person in the Citadel too when he tried to kill us.
Yeah, I know, but I don't mean him. I mean the elusive man.
The elusive man isn't there in person.
He is still a hologram? Is he a
hologram?
Yeah,
Kai Lang
has like walking.
He has a little like a drone hologram that is like moving around with him.
Oh, because he looks weirdly corporeal in this, scene. Whatever. Anyway, the elusive man shows
up. Elusive man turns up.
Gives an annoying ass speech.
He reveals that he also wants to destroy the Reapers, of course.
Sure.
But he wants to control them.
Yeah,
he doesn't
want
to destroy them outright. He wants to, he believes / knows without a doubt that the catalyst / crucible can be used to fully like integrate themselves into the minds of the Reapers. Also stating, as does the Prothean beacon, that there is something else controlling the Reapers. There is something beyond the blackness of space that is telling the Reapers to do this. What the thing is, we don't know. But
he thinks that he can be it.
He thinks he can control them. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you have a fight.
Well, before you have a fight, because Kai Lang also shows up. And Kai Lang is like, I'm gonna kill you.
I'm gonna get you.
He's very, very cartoon villain. But before that, the elusive man is like, come on, like you could be a part of this, and is like trying to convince Shepard that this is a good idea and that this is what makes the most sense. And I had, dialogue wise, I had every possible option available to me.
Uh-huh.
So I had the ability to try to reason with him. And I did try. So I did like offer that like we should work together, not to do this, but against the Reapers.
Mm-hmm.
He flat out doesn't accept that at all. And then Kai Lang is like, all right, it's time to fight to the death. And then Kai Lang is untouchable. He's the craziest thing I've ever seen. He just puts up a shield.
And then you have to hide behind the gun for the gunship's big explosions.
The fight
does kind of suck. It's not.
Well, it's not really a fight. You can't hit him, and he redoes his shield every like 14 seconds.
Yeah.
And then he blows up the floor and you fall in. He like gives the order to like target your companions. He's a real dick, this guy. And then you fall partially down a collapsed cavern and you hang on to the side of the wall and barely climb up and like go out and shoot him like as he's flying away and getting away. Now, to my understanding, there is a way to walk out of this with the catalyst. I did not get it.
I don't know if that's true. I don't think it is.
I looked it up at one point, and because I was so like, holy shit. Because what happens after that is he flies away. You don't defeat him. And the Asari homeworld is destroyed. That part I saw is always going to happen, no matter what. The Asari homeworld is destroyed. Everybody kind of perishes. Reapers land, and it's super epic and devastating.
Yeah.
But apparently there is a way for you to still walk out of that with the catalyst, or with the information on where the catalyst is, I mean.
Sure.
And I did not get it.
No, I didn't either. I didn't, to the point where I didn't think that that I didn't think that that was an option.
Yeah, apparently it is. And I don't, I didn't go far enough in the wiki to figure out how, because I didn't want to spoil myself potentially for like future things. But I did see that that is a possibility. But truly devastating. The weirdness of this mission to me is mostly that the introduction of Kai Lang as a major villain is very late and
it is
weird.
It
and
is.
Like a little abrupt, and it's sort of like, oh, like I have to fight the Reapers. I have to, I guess, fight you guys now too. Like this just feels like, it feels like additional content kind of thing. It feels like a side quest instead of like on the trajectory of the plot we've been on.
I understand why it's happening though, because we need to defeat Cerberus. That's a big major plot. But the elusive man isn't someone that we're going to be fighting. So I think they wanted to give us, because he's not a fighter, I think they wanted to give us a...
We would kill the elusive man in seconds.
Yeah, he's literally a guy. But I think they wanted to give us a, like, this is someone who you can have several boss fights with and they'll keep, like, getting one over on you. So they brought in this character, which is from the book, so you can assume that this was just kind of always the plan. But this is also a big major thing for a lot of people. Not a lot of people like Kai Lang, because he is just kind of a guy who is like really special and gets basically no introduction and no conversation, and then you just fight
right.
a bunch.
Like, I think it's cool. Well, the thing is, you know what I was thinking? Like, okay, if he's a treat for people who read the book, then either you expand his story in the game and give the people playing the game a way to get to know him, and you give the book lovers new info about him.
Yeah.
Or you keep him as sort of like a like cameo treat that's sort of like, here's this character that, you know, he's here.
Yeah, whoa.
But it's sort of like they're like, here, we expect that you know everything you need to know about this guy, and so he's just going to sort of be the worst villain you've faced in the entire game, including a Reaper.
Yeah.
And like, yeah. And that is just how it's going to be, so deal with it.
Yeah. No, you are right. And it's a thing which just does kind of suck. I think I've hardened to it because I kind of know that Kai Lang is just kind of a guy.
Yeah, he's just kind of a guy.
After
I went back to the ship after this whole mess happened, one, I had a note from Kai Lang that was like, oh, good, you're reading these. LOL, yeah. You suck.
You fucking loser.
XOXO Gossip Girl. Crazy stupid message from Kai Lang. Don't like him. And I also got, what I thought was interesting was I got a lot interesting and good. I got a lot more dialogue and like communication from the rest of the ship about the loss at Thessia. Like people were really like talking about it, including Garrus. There's a really great like romantic moment with Garrus where he comforts you about the loss, and it like reassures you that he's there for you. Really, really beautiful. So definitely like some really great like post, arc stuff. And then you talk to Anderson, you're kind of like, I'm sorry, I didn't get it.
Yeah.
And I think it's either Anderson or I forget who tells you about Horizon as the option, the next like possible option that we could find information, the information we need about the catalyst. there, and that we, the implication is that we sort of have to now beat Cerberus.
Yeah,
to
the point
because
where
they're after it.
Shepard all but says, "Before we kill the Reapers, we have to kill Cerberus. Like, we have to destroy this whole thing," which is exciting. These are people who are, you know, have been relevant since one and the entire plot of two, and now Shepard is like, we need to put the Reapers on hold for 2 seconds, and we got to kill them. We got to destroy all of them and kill the elusive man.
Do you want to know who made a snarky-ass comment? Guess.
Who made a snarky-ass comment?
Yeah.
About fighting Cerberus?
About having to kill Cerberus?
Oh, is it
who
Kaiden?
Has been... Yeah. Kaiden? About having to kill Cerberus? Every single time. It's like, I'm sorry. What do I have to do? Do I have to self-flagellate in front of you to show you that I'm sorry that I worked for Cerberus that one time?
Yeah. I'm sorry that Cerberus rebuilt me out of goop.
Yeah. Made me in a lab and then I had no choice. Jesus.
It didn't have to happen if you did your job. So.
Come on,
if you
Kaiden.
Saved me. If you saved me from being goop.
Oh, speaking of doing your job, Joker has the worst, most heartbreaking conversation with me.
Is this the one where he gets angry because Anderson told him to look after you? Because I have written
well,
that down.
Well, so what happens is he's making jokes a little too soon about the Asari homeworld.
Yeah.
And you yell at him and you're like, hey, too fucking soon. Like, keep it together. And he's like, well, you know, come on. Like, what am I going to do? Like, he keeps making jokes. And then you're like, what's with you? And he's like, what's with me? And then he gets mad and he's like, you have not taken a break in years. You have worked so hard for years. I have to try to make you laugh. I have to make sure that you're okay.
Mm.
Because otherwise, this is going to fall apart. And he references the past as if he failed in Mass Effect 1. I'm not crying. My voice is leaving the building.
Dylan's also hard crying. I need all the audio listeners
to know
that.
No, I'm not hard crying.
Tears streaming from their face. They're heartbroken.
You would know I have an ugly, snorty cry. You would know, audio listeners. You would hear it, I promise. And if you would like to, please listen to the Veil Guard episodes of Dorkspawn in our... and you will hear what that sounds like.
My dearest listener, have I got a secret for you? Bitterton is an improvised comedy podcast inspired by the stories of Jane Austen that tells the tale of a wealthy family's secrets, scandals, and shenanigans. Lady Bitterton has unwed daughters, nosy neighbors, awful country cousins, and now a body to hide. Will the Bitchertons be able to keep their secrets off the pages of Lady Bigwither's gossip sheet? Or will her pen skewer their good name forever? Oh, Bits, what a predicament. Featuring the voices of Katie Maravich, Iffy Waddyway, Carolyn Page, Alex Songsharp, Brian Flaherty, and Cassie Wilson, plus a dance card filled with guest comedians of the very finest quality. But for us to help the seeds of rumor ripen into the juicy plum of scandal, we'll need your help. Bitcherton is heading to Kickstarter on June 13th. Go to bitcherton.com to pre-save the campaign and help us bring this story to life. Ta-ta for now.
Hey, Robin.
Hey, Dale.
Robin, I want to show off how strong and cool my original characters are, but I simply can't keep throwing my Hero Forge minis at people.
Well, have you heard that Hero Forge has just launched two new types of minifigures? One of them is a color acrylic keychain that's the same size as your Hero Forge standee.
Oh, so I could just, like, carry it around with me and not throw it at people? Oh, I'm looking right now at their website, and they also just launched 100% stainless steel minifigures, so I could totally feel like an old school dork when I'm playing my games.
Ah, and if you throw them, it'll have more impact.
Oh, I'm going to throw them everywhere.
Thank you, HeroForge, for sponsoring this ad. We do not advocate throwing any minifigures.
No, not at all. None.
But we do advocate visiting HeroForge.com to start designing your custom miniature and dice today.
And check back often because new content is added every single week. So he's freaking out and he's like, this is why I'm trying to lighten the mood is because you are not well. You are working too hard and I need to make sure that you don't. Deeply upsetting conversation.
Deeply upsetting. In this one, he says he does all this, and then he says, Captain Anderson told me to look after you, and how am I supposed to look after like Commander Shepard? How does that work? And then he talks about how he feels responsible for you dying in Mass Effect 2. He says, if I was better at flying the ship, or if I didn't, if I just left my post instead of trying to save something that can't be saved, like, you would still be alive if I was a little faster and not broken and all this stuff. And it's like, my boy, it's not your fault that I died. I got hit with a super laser. It's fine. People die by get hit by super laser sometimes.
Sometimes super laser kills you.
Sometimes super laser kill bad. It sucks getting hit by super laser. And then I just wrote in Shepard is angry in all caps and then kills Cerberus, because that is kind of what the
Because Shepard has a big little speech that's like, I don't care, gang. We're gonna go kill them.
We need to find out where they are. And we need to fucking kill them.
And Shepard in that speech, I think, is like already aware that Horizon is the place.
Horizon is a place where they can find out where the Cerberus base is.
Right.
Yeah. If you walk into Jarvik's room, you see Jarvik and Liara screaming at each other.
Yes. Oh, that's anything, right.
Which I think is fucking cool as shit. Liara is the most broken someone can be, lost her homeworld, and also found out that her super smart people are actually not super smart because the Protheans lifted them up. And everything in her 200-year-old life is a lie. Is just having an awful time, and Jarvik is also yelling at her, saying this is the realities of what we're dealing with right now. It's cool. It's a good conversation. I then went to Garrus and talked to Garrus, and having the best friendship with Garrus is so fucking peak in this game, because he talks about how he's like, I wanted to be the leader. When, you know, I joined this ship, I wanted to be in charge. But I saw you, and you are making the most difficult decisions and then standing up and just continuing to keep moving and do what's best for people. I couldn't do that. I believe in you so much. And I'm so glad that I'm going to die doing this with you and on your ship and all this. And it's like, you're my best friend in the whole world. I love you so
best
deeply.
Friend.
He's the coolest guy ever. Really good ship conversations around here.
This is not a
game writing thing. This is an old game thing that I think is really funny. If you went to Liara's room, Liara's giant wall of computers faces you constantly. So if you have your character model just kind of spin around, the computer monitors just kind of spin 360 in place because they're always supposed to be facing you. That's the most fun thing ever. I just do that occasionally.
I gotta try that.
If I just need to cool off, I go into Liara's room and just kind of spin in a circle, and then her PCs just go crazy. Yeah. It's very fun.
I gave my interview with my next interview with our influencer.
Yes. How did that go with you? Did I tell you that I slept with her? That was
you
last
did.
Time, right?
Yeah, you did. Yeah, okay, you did, you dog.
You dirty dog.
Yeah. No. I did give the interview, and it was like a mostly, well, it was kind of like about more about justifying the decision to have the Geth join us.
Oh, sure.
And it went well, you know?
Cool.
I think.
Yeah,
it seemed to go well.
No, that's good. That's cool. And then after this, we have Horizon.
Horizon.
We zoom over to Horizon. As we're zooming, oh, who happens to contact us? It's Miranda.
Miranda.
This is a crazy conclusion to her storyline. We have met her three times throughout the course of the game, and she's like, I can't tell you what I'm doing.
No. Nope.
I just am doing stuff, and you have to believe me.
And you have to give me access to super top secret government information, please.
And we just keep popping in and just talking to her. This is, Horizon is a Cerberus base. And as you're walking around, you look at security footage and you're like, oh shit, that's fucking Miranda knocking around. Oh, wild. Turns out Miranda's sister is here. Here and has been captured by Miranda's father, who is also here and is now fully working for Cerberus. Is like bankrolling Cerberus. Yep. They are experimenting on people and turning them into husks. They are fully doing Reaper's work for them. They're trying to like perfect some form of thing. I don't know. There we go. That's what they're doing. They're trying to figure out how indoctrination works so that they can do it.
They can recreate it.
They can recreate it and do it.
Good guys, those Cerberus.
Good guys, the good guys. I can't remember what I was just about to say. I like this mission.
This one, I
think
I like
the vibes are fun.
A bit better. Yeah, the vibes here are good.
Yeah. I like seeing Cerberus and all their weird little messed up little experiments. Kylan was here, but is no longer because we tracked him to here.
And then, right.
And then our goal is
right,
because
that's how we get the location.
To track him from here. Because we're like, well, he's going to go back to the Elusive Man at some point. So we're just going to keep tracking him until we get a place that we don't know. Then you get
we
through
get,
the
like,
end.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sorry, you go.
No,
I'm skipping around, I think.
That's okay. I was just about to say, you know, we're following through. We're finding out all about this indoctrination stuff, what they're doing. Fun fact. I believe this is a fun fact for this section. If Jack wasn't loyal to you and didn't die in Mass Effect 2, she turns up in this mission as a, I think it's as a Phantom, as one of the indoctrinated Reaper, like controlled creatures. She turns up here as a Phantom, and she's not a boss. She is a regular Phantom enemy type that you have to kill. But she has a name that says Jack, and as you kill her, Shepard goes, "Oh my god, I think that was Jack," and it pisses me off every time. It is not looked upon. She is just a throwaway dead body enemy type. It's stupid and sucks, and I hate it. However,
I might not even have noticed it.
I wouldn't have. I only know it because I was like, I wonder what happened to all my favorite characters whilst I was looking over things.
Yeah. Oh. Wow, I do not recall that happening. I'm sure it did.
Oh, yeah, I mean it did, but Jack died in Mass Effect 2 for you, so she wouldn't be here. It's if she survives but isn't loyal
survives.
To you. If she survives but isn't loyal to you.
But isn't loyal. Oh, yeah. Okay. Got it.
There is also a bit with fucking Paul Grayson, who, oh my god, Paul Grayson, why do we know you? He is another Paul Grayson is the father of David Grayson, who is the the autistic character in 2, who we save from being tortured, Paul
yes.
Grayson is here
yes,
in this little
guy.
Area and is so stupid hyper evil. I don't think he's fully here, but there is like logs of him
and in the
Henry
system.
Lawson talking to each other.
Yeah.
Which is pretty fun. Then we get to Henry Lawson, who's Miranda's dad.
Yes.
Miranda then confronts him, and there is not really a little fight. He grabs Miranda's sister, Oriana, and like puts a gun to like he's like pointing a gun yeah. at everyone and is like, I'm gonna get out of here. And then you can be like, hey, we can just talk about it. But pretty much there is a lot of different ways that this is going to end. Most of the ways is Miranda killing her dad, finally killing her dad, doing what she has set out to do throughout all of Mass Effect 2, is save her sister, kill her dad.
Yep. I did try to talk to him. I chose the option to. And Miranda was like, phew, never mind.
Yep.
So,
yeah. There are a billion different ways this can end. Miranda can die in a lot of different ways. Miranda can die in this mission. Oriana can die by killing herself and her father at the same time.
Whoa.
Yeah, everyone can die. Nobody can die. There's lots of different ways that this can run out. It's a fun, like, kind of one of our final big things.
This was interesting.
Like, random situation. Yeah.
Yeah. We also then, like, kind of tell Miranda, like, hey, this Kai Lang guy.
Yeah. Is
you want to watch out because he's trying to kill all of us and maybe you also. And. Yeah, this was interesting. I thought, I felt, like I said, in the Thessia mission, like, we had a great mission. We had an interesting, like bit of lore dumping. The Kai Lang thing just feels like they're throwing a random character in as a major villain, like, so late in the third act of this story. Because this is now what I was framing it as, is this isn't just the third act of this particular game. This is the third act. This is the third act of the third act. This is the last scene of the third act, essentially, of this story overall, considering that this is one plot line, one continuous plot line from Mass Effect 1 to 3. So we've been building towards a particular plot line this whole time, and then Kai Lang kind of is just like plopped in our laps. However, I do like how we kind of get to handle that in Horizon, seeing them, like catching the glimpses of them, learning what they're trying to do. Like catching the glimpses of them on like the comms and on the surveillance and stuff like that. And then having the opportunity to let Miranda know that they are a threat, and like knowing what Miranda is like, you're just sort of like, she might just help take care of this.
She does a fun line where when you meet up with her and you're like, hey, Kai Lang, we're trying to get. And she's like, oh, he's still alive? What the hell? It's like, yeah, I don't know. He keeps evading it. She's like, damn, all right. I thought he died ages ago. Which is fun. So Miranda finally gets revenge. Kills her dad.
Yep.
It's a cool bit. Really liked this
it
mission.
Is. Yeah,
really
liked
this mission.
I did like this one a lot.
And then, because of the help of Miranda... we are able to trace Kai Lang all the way to the Elusive Man. Also, because Miranda pretty much knows the way to the Elusive Man also, because she has been there several times.
Yeah,
Is like, yep, it's that one right there. That's how you get to him, and that's
almost
where
like
he
we
is.
Almost like we didn't need Kai Lang for that.
Almost like we didn't need Kai Lang. It's one of the weird things where it's like, why don't we just ask Miranda, like, hey, you've been here, right? But I guess it might be a thing of like, oh... you know what? This doesn't even make sense with what I'm about to say. Of like, oh, well, she didn't actually know the way to it. She was always like driven there by other people. But Miranda is Cerberus's golden child. Obviously,
exactly.
She would know the way
right.
to the elusive
man. She was the one defending them all through two.
Yeah. Anyway, I then got back. And a thing which I got, which was fun, is that Tally is super drunk in the bar all alone.
Oh,
and is
so sad.
I know. Yeah. And she's bitching about Miranda the whole time about how she's a pretty perfect princess. And she's so beautiful and a big cheerleader. And she is she's sad about Tally is sad about her own dad because... Tally had to kill her dad, and then Miranda's dad was hyper evil, and Tally was like, and she has this whole bitching session about Miranda, and then is like, but she's so strong and beautiful and charming, and she's able to do all these things, and you know, I and even with all that, Miranda's dad still like sucked really hard, and my dad like loved me deeply, and I'm none of these things, and it's a sad little conversation with Tally, but it's cute. She's all drunk.
Yeah.
Talking
that's
about
cute.
How alcohol is fun. And she's like, oh, I don't know if alcohol
God.
Is working, but is like slurring her words and is super drunk all alone. It is very fun. However, with that, Shepherd and team now have an X marks the spot on Cerberus.
Yes.
And is going to go into the final confrontation with Cerberus. And, spoilers, the entire finale of the game. If you start the Cerberus mission, you get locked off from every single
Good
other quest,
to know.
And you okay. have to go to the end of the game. So,
got it.
That's
okay.
not what we're doing, baby. Next week, we're going to do the Leviathan DLC.
Yay!
This is zones that I have never experienced. I do not know
the
Leviathan.
Right?
The next 2 weeks, I've not done anything with them. I don't know anything about the Leviathan DLC. I know a little bit. I don't know anything about the Shore Leave DLC, which is Leviathan, Shore Leave. And then we have a spare week to do everything else. And then we're going to do
and
the Cerberus mission. And then we're going
to
go.
Excellent. Okay, good.
Yeah. So how do you feel about Mass Effect 3? I'm going to warn you right now. We're already in the thick of it. This is when the writing gets weird. This is when
so,
things are closing in.
This is where
you can feel the threads begin to
yeah,
tear.
Yeah, I just feel like, okay, I very early into this feeling, I still have a lot of hope for it. I still am enjoying it. But I can feel them losing the momentum on the plot that I feel like they've worked so hard for. Like, I felt that Kai Lang thing in particular just was one thing that it took me out of the story a little bit because I was like, really? We got a new guy? We got a new major villain and one who's like tougher to fight than the Reaper has been? Like, that, like, after like three whole games of the Reapers being the thing that's going to destroy the universe.
Yeah.
Seems like this guy could destroy the universe. This guy could
yeah,
just fucking
I,
end everybody.
I know that he does a cool, like, a big cool assassination in the Citadel 2. Like, that's a big Kai Lang is cool kind
sure,
of
sure, he...
But
right.
I could have also had him die then and this whole bit be, like, random Cerberus grunts jumping us. Like, that would have done it for me.
Or even and... him being a... like a really high lackey, but not being like kind of invulnerable, like he's the next main villain. Like,
yeah.
Even him like getting away and being like a thing that's in our way, that I get. But he's being presented to me like he is like the main villain of the story.
Yeah, and this
suddenly,
is a big.
And that feels like a.
This is a big, like, Corypheus
like
style, like, showdown. One of the things where
yeah.
it's like, you can't beat him yet. One of those things.
Yeah. yeah.
And it's like,
but I was like, but you're
I
not
can
the...
beat him. Because yeah. what was crazy is even combat wise, if we're talking like raw mechanics, I got him to. So he has a phase where you fight him one-on-one. You get his shield low enough, he then recharges his shield by, like, boosting this big shield in front of him, and then a warship flies in and then guns everyone down. You have to hide. The thing is that, like, this gunship is giving Kai Leng enough covering fire that Kai Leng can fully recharge all of his shields. He would recharge his shields. The gunship would fly away. I would zoop in, hit, like, shoulder barge him, shotgun him in the face, and then he'd immediately go back into, whoa, I need to, hey, give me some covering fire. And I'm like, I can beat him, though. I can kill this guy before he recharges this shield. This
yes.
doesn't make any
he
sense
He was recharging
to me.
His shield so often in that fight.
Yeah.
Which was...
It's like, you need to get him to that phase 3 times, but when getting him to that phase is a single gunshot, it's like, what are we doing here? I'm literally yeah. hiding behind a wall this whole fight.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not fun.
So I see a little bit of the early signs of kind of the writing starting to lose a little bit. But I'm still enjoying it. I'm still feeling good. I felt great about all the crew deck conversations, the lore drops in Thessia. Yeah, there was still a lot of great here, but I definitely am aware of a sense of maybe some losing steam.
Yes. Yeah. And that, to be very sad about it, that kind of doesn't stop. Now, the Leviathan and Shore Leave is supposed to be outstanding. They came out several months after the main game. So we are having like a fresh kind of one-off world building break.
Love that.
Two world building breaks, should I say. And then when we get into the finale of the game, it is just kind of a lot of like, what is happening here? Plots. One which is really huge is the finale that I'm really excited to speak to you about, because there is one. So there are two theories, two big video game storyline, not even video game, storyline conspiracy theories that I believe so heavily that I count them as canon. One is in Final Fantasy VIII, where Squall Leonhardt dies at the end of the first disc and the rest is a dream sequence. I will explain that at a later date. Two is one that belongs in Mass Effect, the franchise of Mass Effect. It's a big fan conspiracy theory that I wholeheartedly believe, and we will talk about on our wrap-up of the Mass
Excellent.
Effect franchise.
Okay. Yeah.
Because it has to do with a major rewrite happening, because this is when EA had bought the franchise and had bought BioWare. And the theory is that they had a storyline, and then because EA rushed them, they had to drop a bunch of it and then kind of wrap it all up. And this third act is hit the hardest with this large wrap up of story. But I'm excited. I'm excited for us to talk about it.
I really can't wait to know what people are talking about. Like, I can.
Yeah.
Like I said, I can kind of see a little bit of the early signs of some of the complaints, but I'm curious to see what it actually is.
Yeah.
Because I've had such a great time with Mass Effect 3. It's been my favorite of the series.
Yo,
up
by a huge
now.
Margin. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we are almost done with it. And then we're going to be able to talk just about the franchise and all the thoughts and feelings and everything about it before we go on to another game.
A mystery game. All right.
But
we'll see
you. Oh my God. No. Shit. I don't have a thing. I don't have a phrase. I don't have a quote from this bit. Oh my God. 1 second. Vamp for me.
Okay. So, next week, like Robin says, we're doing Leviathan. And hopefully no more personal disasters or trips or illnesses will get in the way of this, and we will just be back on track. Really excited, genuinely. I know that a lot of new people have joined the Discord. that's been really nice. If you want to join the Patreon, that would be even more nice. I'd love you so much. Have you supported the show? What do you got, Robin?
All right. Shepard's final line
in the speech.
Oh, no. Final line on Horizon is, "I've had enough of this place," which is apparently just what Shepard says.
Oh, that is good, too.
And it mirrors the fact that at the very end, on the mission on Horizon in Mass Effect 2, Shepard says, "I've had enough of this colony." It's kind of a mirror back to 2, because this is back to Horizon. And "I think I've had enough of this place" will just
that
have
works.
To do for this week.
That works.
Okay.
That works very
hey,
well.
Hey, gang. Thank you so much. Meet us back next week when we're doing the DLC Leviathan. So outrageously excited for Leviathan. I kind of know what the pitch of Leviathan is, and that is really, really exciting for me. My name is Robin. That has been Dylan. Until next time, I've had enough of this place.
I've had enough of this place.
Nice. Good. Good.
Good.
It works.